Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up. And boy, you need some of that these days.
Holy cow.
We've got a great show for you, and as always, brought to you by Colorado Citizen Press and Synergenics.
That's right, ColoradoCitizenPress.com, a great website, Colorado's conservative voice. On the show today, we have standing by Lindsay Singer with Colorado Rising Action, Mike Dunifin, mayor of Glendale. Glendale citizens stood up against the progressive bullies.
Kay Anderson Sirota came to town to do some whooping, but left with the tails between their legs, more or less.
That's right. You'll hear about that. And then also, a fellow talk show host, Mark Griffith. He's got a show over at KLZ.
Great show. Great guy.
Yeah, he's going to be joining us, too. But let's jump right into it right now and start off with Lindsay Singer.
Hi, Lindsay.
Lindsay, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself, perfect, with Colorado Rising Action. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you being here.
Great to talk with you guys again.
Okay, so you guys are working on a couple of really important ballot initiatives, and I think I've seen people out at local grocery stores and things. One to let us vote on fees, Initiative 295, and the other one, a tax cut. Good idea, coming on this tax day. Initiative 306. Why don't you, Lindsay, tell us a little bit?
Well, tell us about a little about your organization yourself, because not everybody will necessarily know.
Sure. So Colorado Rising Action is a conservative advocacy organization. We're committed to advancing conservative principles and holding liberals accountable. We have we do that through tracking of Democrat candidates and liberal organizations. We have a big research. We have a big backing of research that we use to communicate with the press and sort of keep people accountable to their voting records and what they've said in the past, which is really helpful. And then we do that through rapid response communication. Sending out statements and releases, talking to people like you guys, making sure people around Colorado conservatives know what we're doing and what the conservative message on issues should be.
And I want to give you a round of applause. I mean, I've covered politics in Colorado for years. Chuck and I have been talk show hosts for years. And, your group, it really is the first one. You've been around for a little while now, but really before you, there hasn't been very much of this going on at all. And you guys are spot on with your information. I mean, you've really been hitting it hard on John Hickenlooper and, all of this ethics issues he has going on and the taxpayer money. So I just get on your mailing list, get their newsletter. They do a Colorado Rising mm-hmm. Action. You guys do a great job.
And then tell people a little about yourself.
So I'm the communications director. I've been in conservative politics for several years. And before that, I worked for the Israeli embassy doing communications. So communications is my background, but conservative politics is what I've been doing for several years. And this season, we're working on maybe 5 or 6 ballot issues. We'll see what actually ends up on the ballot. But in a lot of ways, these ballot issues are even more important to our day-to-day and our pocketbooks than some of the bigger elections.
I agree. Well, let me talk to you about why people may say, why do we have to vote on fees? What's that all about? But maybe give people a little bit of, to me, tell me if I'm wrong, but what's happened is the color.
Let her
I'm going to talk a little bit.
Let her talk. She's on here.
Chuck is being too bossy already. He wasn't here. So explain, why do we need this?
Okay, so I think probably everyone listening knows that the legislature uses fees as a way to get around our taxpayer bill of rights. And we should have a vote in Colorado on every new money that comes out of our pockets. But, we don't care if it's called a fee or a tax. It's money that we're paying to the state for them to use. So, the legislature isn't happy that voters vote down statewide tax increases almost all the time. So they've come up with fees. It's basically an enterprise. It's like faster fees. They can raise our car registration rates every year. The hospital provider fee. And in this session, there's a new fee on our health insurance plans.
Right.
So it's a pattern. They're going to keep doing this. And it's time. This is really a proactive, and we're on the offensive here. We're usually on the defensive. So this is a way to be on the offensive. I'm saying, no, we aren't going to have these fees anymore.
And let me, and you guys talked a little bit, just sort of logistics. How many signatures do you need? When do you need them by? And how can people find out where to go find a ballot to sign?
Yeah, thank you. So we need 125 ballot signatures by the beginning of August. So our plan, we want to turn in a lot more than that because the Secretary of State, you know, she's looking for any reason to throw out ballot initiatives. So we don't want to give her that. So we're going to turn in a lot more than we actually, than 125,000. And we're getting there. We've been collecting signatures. The people you saw outside the grocery store were probably some of our paid signature gatherers who've been doing this since the lockdown was lifted, basically.
Right.
But these volunteer efforts are really important because usually the signatures gathered when people come out specifically to sign a petition are have a much higher validity rate.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what we're doing this Saturday and then next Saturday. So the 18th and the 25th, we're having some signature gathering drives and the locations are listed there. We tried to get as many places around the state. I know there's people who may have to drive a little bit, but they're listed on voteonfees.com. It's really easy. A lot of websites aren't that easy. Voteonfees.com. And they're all listed there. We'll change them next week for the 25th. There might be some additional locations, but you can vote or you can sign it during the week. Also in Boulder, there's a location, the Boulder Republicans, and then Independence Institute. You can go there during
down
the
Denver.
Week from, downtown Denver from 9 to 5. And then on Saturday, we have, I think we have 6 or 7 locations for this Saturday.
I hope you'll be at Support the Blue Rally Sunday because there'll be a lot of people who love to sign.
Are you going to be law enforcement appreciation thing Sunday?
I think there will be signature gatherers there. Yeah,
I'm sure there will be. Okay, let me give a plug for them too, because we're speaking of that. And Randy Corporan, once again, organizing, and it's a 5th annual Support our Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, 3 to 6 Sunday down at Civic Center Park.
And could they ever use it?
Oh, man. Maybe we could buy some Clorox or something like that, and they could clean up the state capitol. I want to get to that in a second. What about then the tax cut? We were busy. I had to stop at the post office today, long line of people filling out, mailing their taxes. So I'm all in favor of any kind of tax cut. Talk to us about ballot initiative 306.
Yeah, the tax cut. I mean, I've always said, I think I can spend my money much better than I think the state government can. So any kind of tax cut, this is a small across the board tax cut. It goes from, make sure I have my number. It goes from 4.63% to 4.55%. So it's small, but any amount that people can keep in their pockets these days, I think is a big help.
Right.
This is also a counter to the tax hike initiative.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So it's an important counter. That initiative is also gathering signatures at the moment. So voters need to see that there's, that there's both. And having this on the ballot, if both of them pass, whichever passes with more votes is the one that wins. So.
Oh, gotcha. Really?
Okay, wow. Yeah. Well,
you can defeat it two ways. So the big tax hike they want to give you, you can vote against it and it fails, or you get more for the one you're pushing hard.
You can vote both, right? You can vote no on theirs and yes on yours.
Yeah, well, that'll be the good strategy.
Right.
Well, I think, I've said before, in this time of mail ballot elections and harvesting, which Colorado Republicans have just rolled over on. I mean, nationally, they have not. Locally, they've just rolled over on. And I'm not really sure why, other than it's the Colorado Republican Party, which seems
you don't have to comment on that.
Well, anybody who's been around it knows that it's dipsotic at times. It spends most of their time attacking each other. But the only real way you have of controlling is through these initiatives, and that you're taking the offense rather than just kind of, playing Dr. No. I think it's great. I think it's just great.
Well, and I want to go over.
Let her respond.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to agree. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that the liberals, put on the ballot. And so we spend a lot of time trying to stop things more than we put forward things ourselves. But there's some things on the ballot that having the Democrats running the legislature and the Capitol, there's things that they can put on the ballot and the language, they can decide their own language. And that's a real problem that maybe we can talk about another time.
But yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Well, and to clarify, because I know I was a little confused because I'd heard about, I'd heard about the tax hike one. So I was like, don't sign the, at the grocery store. But so people really need to pay attention. Am I signing the income tax decrease or am I signing the income tax hike?
And it is confusing because they'll say, a lot of people under this tax raise, a lot of people get a tax cut, which is just a lie.
Right.
And so you got to watch carefully which one. Yours is which number again?
306. 306.
How many, I know you don't know, but what, if you had to guess, how many ballot initiatives do you think is going to make the ballot?
I think it'll be maybe 10.
Wow.
Wow. A lot. We're going to have a lot. People, we're in it. And sometimes we're like, wait, has this passed? Has it gotten the signatures? Where? So just imagine, if you're not focused on this every single day, it's going to be a really confusing ballot. And one important thing I just want to mention before I forget about the tax hike, which the people promoting it are going to call it a tax cut, which is very confusing because it's a small tax cut for some people, but it's a very large tax increase. It's a $2 billion a year tax increase. For other people. And what it does is change our tax system from a flat tax to a gradual income tax, which is really dangerous because once they pass that and change the system, that just opens the floodgates.
Right. And so for people to make sure they're signing the right ballot, because you're right, they call it a tax cut too. So don't just look at the tax cut. You want to look at the tax cut. First, number 306.
Yeah, just remember 306. What's the number of the tax hike, do you know?
271, I think. So I actually have a ballot here. Let me, I'll just show you where to look.
Okay.
So when you're signing it, let me make sure I have a page that no one signed. This is what the tax cut will look like. Very short, simple language up here.
Gotcha.
In the lower, right-hand corner, you see 306.
Gotcha.
Okay,
gotcha.
Perfect, Lindsay. Perfect. Okay.
What,
yeah.
Do you have an example of 217? Or 271.
I don't. I wouldn't carry that.
No.
Wouldn't want to pollute your home.
No, I think it's 271.
Let me. I think, though, this could be good for you guys. I mean, we have the, and there's going to be money spent on the whole national popular vote thing, which we want to vote. Don't have the national popular vote. Keep Electoral College. You've got, you have to be an American citizen to vote in an American election. You've got the due date too late. All of which I think have somewhat different groups that are going to be pushing people to.
And conversely, you're going to have the family leave, I think they tried to put on. You got the tax hike, they're calling a cut. And I'm sure there are other ones.
But I think, though, this could, I would read this as potentially good for you guys. I would imagine that some of the people who, who would agree with those things might say, hey, heck no, I don't want a tax hike. And yeah, I think I should be able to vote on the fee since the legislature's cheating all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Where our Taxpayer Bill of Rights does us another huge favor is by most of the ballot initiatives have to say, raising taxes by this amount or not. But there's some, like I mentioned, that get passed by the legislature, like the Gallagher repeal, which we're against. And the ballot language is very confusing and they get to write it without any check or balance. And it makes it sound like, I think it starts off without raising property taxes and that's just not,
It will, and you're right. And to clarify on that too, the way that works is part of the thing is the Secretary of State, a Democrat, they decide
a crooked Democrat,
what the language is, right? So they try to make everything as hard as they can for the Republicans and as easy. I mean, the Democrats could be like, "We love babies," and there'll be no property tax increases, and then it's a tax hike. I mean, it's ridiculous.
They have gotten so far off of the what was the mainstream. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, but even more important, I think, for people to really read the ballot language and try to understand which is which. And that's why, we just have to talk about it every single day.
Right, exactly. Well, and again, and where can people, if they you said go to a voteonfees.com, that's where they can find those. How about the sites for the tax cut place?
So the tax, we have all the same locations as the tax cut. Every one of those locations will carry both petitions. So they don't have their own site, but voteonfees.com. If you don't see a location there but want to be connected with someone who's carrying a petition in your area, Just there's a, you know, spot you can put in your information and submit it, and that comes straight to me actually. So we'll try to get you connected however we can.
Oh, that's great.
Perfect.
Yeah. How many signatures do you have at this point? Do you know?
At this point, I think we're, last I heard, we're very close, even a little bit above the 125,000. But right. Like I said, you know, we have to.
Yeah, you need at least 20% above.
Right, right, right. Yeah. But it sounds like, and you need those by August 1st?
Yeah, so we're actually going to try to turn them in, I think, July 30th. The very last week of July, just to give ourselves a little wiggle room if there's
right.
Push that a little bit. But that's why these next few weekends and these locations, this drive is so important to get people to sign that petition and get the extra
one. Right. Let me ask you, it's kind of unrelated, but I know, and because we're going to be talking about this later in the show, just today I saw somebody was tweeting, somebody at the state capitol had put up a guillotine, and it says, eat the rich. We're going to be showing some videotape later on of just all the graffiti. I mean, if you looked at it, you were thinking, you would think you were seeing a video of an abandoned warehouse somewhere and some, you know, but you guys, you work there all the time. You lobby up there. What do you think? I mean, have you seen it? And what do you think about what's going on up there?
Yeah, I have seen it, and I've seen some of the pictures. I haven't seen it personally in a couple weeks, but I think a lot of people like me assumed that they had cleaned it up, because why would we want to keep that graffiti on our Capitol? It shows very little pride in our Capitol building, and it's disgraceful. I don't understand why it's still there.
Well, I think in its own way, it's a wonderful symbol of where the, you know, when you have a Democratic governor and a Democratic mayor and a Democratic everything, what you get.
That's they can't take care of their own house. They can't keep it clean. So how do we expect them to take care of us?
That's right. And they want to raise our taxes in the meantime. So, all right. Mm-hmm. Lizzie, thank you. Where can people just find out more about your organization and help you guys too?
So Colorado Rising State Action is where we put all of our ballot initiative stuff. So it's coloradorisingstateaction.org.
Okay, vote on fees.com.
All right, great.
Lizzie, so good to have you on. We appreciate you. Take care.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Lindsay Singer there, guys. Yeah, these are important, I think. You know, I have to say, we'll sign them Sunday. I haven't signed, I think, the vote on fees one.
No.
And that's, you know, and here's the thing. Let me ask you this. As soon as, I hope they have language in there that says, you know, because as soon as they say fees, then I think the Democrats will change it. They're not going to call them a fee. They're going to call it a contribution or something like that. Can they?
No.
There's some restriction.
Well, fee thing has been worked out through the courts, because, you know, it's brought up before. This is just a tax. You're calling a fee. And so, well, it's not if A, B, and C.
If it's a Democrat bill.
And so, yes, if they're prohibited, they will figure out some other crooked way of trying to raise your stuff, but a bit of severely limit them.
Right.
It'll severely limit
them. Hey, and I want to read Sandra's text. You guys, why don't you know, if you're on Zoom, you can go down to the chat button and you can chat with us and we can read those. She says, wonderful here that young people are conservatives. We need more of them. Any idea on how to do all that? Thank you. You know, I think just keep getting the word out, Sandra.
She's talking about us?
Yeah. You're talking about us being...
That's great.
And all of you guys out
thank
there.
Thank you.
All those youngsters out here. You know, I think, Sandra, that what is going on in the country and all of that is helping our cause. I think that people are looking around, and young people who are starting out in business, young people who maybe have a business, are looking around saying, wait a minute, they're locking me down. I think they look at some of the other stuff going on, and they're saying, you know, I don't agree with this, right? Maybe, you know, maybe it's time to look for a change. And I'm wondering if there are people who say, okay, well, I don't really like Donald Trump, and I don't like his tweets and blah, blah, blah. But I also don't like the fact that my country is being destroyed. I mean, wait till you guys see this video. We're going to play it when we bring Mark Griffith on. The video of the state capitol. I mean, it's just astonishing that they're allowing that to happen. I agree with Lindsay. Initially, I thought, oh, okay, I bet, you know, they'll just clean it up. That's what they always do. Why they're allowing it to happen?
Because that's who they are. I mean, if you want any example of what they want your house to look like, see how they protect their own
house
of things. And they need more money to what?
Right.
What do they need more money for? To give more to Planned Parenthood?
Heroin injection sites. Yeah, exactly. Planned Parenthood and all the progressive groups that got the bailout, right? And they're keeping it. Hey, we're waiting to get Mike Dunafin, the mayor of Glendale, on the phone.
Which number did you give, Julie?
The one that you gave me. I don't know.
I didn't give you one.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Chuck, we're not going to do this live on the air. Yeah, you did. I want to talk about the Jeff Eggemeyer, who's a a guy I talked to a lot who has been very active in pushing the Trump campaign in the last election.
Yeah, he was great.
And he let me
great.
Know that there is a big event going on tonight. It's a virtual thing. It's Colorado Second Amendment Sportsman Make America Great Meetup. And it's a virtual meeting. You can get a Zoom number. If you want to find out about it, all you need to do is you go to TrumpVictory.com.
Yeah, it's good to see some Trump action.
Yeah. So we've got Barney online. One, let's go ahead and bring him on. Hey, Barney, good afternoon.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. What's wrong with Rev? Karen said something about.
Oh, nothing. Rev is working on his massive golf career. So, and we'll be gone, I think, again next Monday. Rev has a junior PGA thing going on. And so we're kind of taking care of that. So he's not sick at all. He's doing just fine. Doing just fine.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a little bit of a fade in his, on his three wood. So it's not he's got to work on that.
You know what? I was a kid. Golf was never going to work out for me. We had pulled some golf clubs out of the attic and we started hitting these old balls that just disintegrate when you hit them. And I turn around and my buddy Bubby Hilburn is throwing his head up and down. Blood's flying out of his head. I knocked him in the, you know, when I swung around it. Ooh. So I stayed away from golf my whole life.
Full context. What I love is they'll tell you golf is dying, right? You know, golf is, you know, it takes too long.
No.
Everything else. And so we try to get a reservation at Topgolf, you know, the huge driving range thing that's got meals and entertainment and everything. Can't get in. Cannot get in.
Try to
get tee times for the weekends. Can't get in. We live on a golf course and it's like, it's like
9 o'clock at
9:30 and you know, they got their flashlights out hitting golf balls. So for a sport that's dying, it sure seems to have
crowded.
a lot of adherence for a dying sport.
So Barney, what do you,
I don't do it. I never have, but I will tell you this, that it's very addicting. And so when I did get older, we would hit golf balls at the refinery at a building. Ooh. And they basically bounce right back to you. But those guys were golfers. They could judge, you know, okay, that was going to be 300 yards, three, whatever. So that was pretty fun. But anyway, yeah, it's not dying and it's very addictive. But so, yes, Julie, I got something to say because I think a lot. First off, I'd like to take a whiteboard and shove it down Carl Rove's throat. This is why us Republicans, us true conservatives, hate the Republican Party. I'd like to twist his neck off. Can't stand the guy, never have. But I'd love to shove a whiteboard down. By the way, if you listen, wait a minute, the Capitol campaign ad, great campaign ad.
Good point.
But, you know, we know Corey, the spineless puke that he is, he won't use it. But, Corey, there's your shot to win. You know, this is what you get with Democrats. And anyway, perfect campaign ad. But have you noticed Uncle Trump yesterday? He did not ramble and babble on. He was right on the money. And if that guy stays on like he does with his little garden, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be so much fun. Go ahead,
I think so, too. Let me, because, you know, on Friday, we had Patrick Neville on the show, and he talked about that he was hearing that the Trump campaign was kind of pulling out of Colorado, which I was depressed about, right? So I called around and talked to some people who I think know, right? And here's what they tell me. They say no. They say, you know, I talked about this coalition virtual meeting that they're having. They said, obviously, the pandemic slowed everything down, but they said they're gearing up right now. They're doing stuff online because they are virtual things, right? Because they have to. But I was told absolutely not, that the Trump campaign at this point still considers Colorado to be very much in play and they're going to be working hard and fighting hard. Now, the folks I talked to say that's all be realistic, right? As we kind of get back into sort of more of a full campaign swing, full campaign mode, we'll get a better idea. But Barney, I think there are a lot of people who are looking around the country, and I think the polls, when they say, well, do you like the way Trump's handling coronavirus? Maybe they say no, but I don't know if they're asking, but would you think Joe Biden could handle it better? I mean, I think there are a lot of people who maybe aren't happy about the way things are going in the country, but sure as heck don't want a Democrat getting their hands on things.
And the thing is, how is it you've got this nasty little bug that's so contagious? First off, bureaucrats don't fix anything. They're good for planting trees, and that's about it. They're really not good at fixing anything, with all due respect. Even these butt-kissing generals. I mean, look at bureaucrats. This pandemic, and I really don't like saying pandemic. By the way, I noticed in McDonald's today, everybody's got their mask on, they've got their rubber gloves, and they take their hand, and they keep messing with their dirty, filthy, stinking mask.
So oh,
the
exactly.
mask that's going to protect us. Oh, yeah, they're touching all their snotty, you know, whatever. It's just, you know what? It's bottom line is, it's not Trump's fault. Biden, did you hear him talk? I mean, this guy, God, I don't sound like a butt clown next to Joe Biden. I sound pretty smart.
You never sound like a butt clown, but we have to got another guest coming on, so appreciate you calling in.
Love you.
Love it a lot.
All right.
All right. We've got Mike Dunafin with us on line three. He's the mayor of Glendale. There was a huge Donnybrook. A lot of people saw it. It was streamed by Channel 4 and Channel 9, where the forces of evil came down to Glendale, as they often do, because it's so close to downtown Denver.
It's an easy commute. And to the Glendale City Council meeting.
Glendale City Council meeting. And Tay Anderson, the one who...
Denver Public School Board member. So
who demands you call him Director Anderson.
And what's he doing at Glendale City Council meeting?
Well, he's same as doing Stapleton Neighborhood. He thinks he's control everything. He said he wasn't mayor of Denver yet. A bigger, arrogant guy wouldn't know. But Glendale was considering whether to adopt or opt out of Tri-County's
mandatory mask
one, and which Parker's dropped out.
Brighton
Castle Rock, all of Douglas County, unincorporated Douglas County. So it's a popular thing. But I think Tay and Emily Sirota, who's a far left progressive, but she's, I like her.
A legislator.
Right. I like David Sirota a lot, even though he's
But they were there when they organized.
Well, they organized that, but they were just rude. They were crude. They laughed at citizens who got up who didn't agree with them. I mean, it was shocking. Mike Dunafin's done a tremendous job kind of holding a very professional meeting, and I thought it was just great. Mike, are you there?
Hey, Mike.
Can you hear me now, Chuck?
Yeah, sure can.
So, Mike.
There we go. I'm sorry I'm on the road. How are you today?
No, we're good, and thank you for joining us. Let me ask you this, and I know the city of Glendale, they put off the vote. I don't want to put you on the spot by asking you something that you can't answer, but it seems to me, I'm curious. So how all of a sudden did Channel 4 and Channel 9 know that Glendale was holding this city council meeting? I know you guys posted, but I guarantee you they don't monitor every city council meeting of every city. How did, you know, Tay Anderson, a Denver Public School Board member, know to show up? I mean, to me, it seems like somebody's pulling strings there to try to force this mask mandate down our throats. And I think those people showed up just to try to bully the city council.
Well, Julie, you're absolutely right. What they were doing is threatening, which is a matter of proximity, convenience. When you think about how far Glendale is from those news stations,
right?
It's a short drive, so you don't have to drive to Castle Rock or to Brighton to deal with that. It's just sloth is all it is.
Yeah.
And they used false information to attract people to the meeting, which is typical behavior with these Marxists, that they're going to say, well, you're trying to keep us from doing something that is always based on fear. You're going to make us wear masks, and it's based on fear. It's not based on science.
Right.
But you think about that. Know why they're doing it, and then put them in a meeting and question them as to why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And the answer is always fear and emotion. It's not based on science. It's not based on...
But it is based on politics.
Political. This has to do with us telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Well, I think what was great is folks who are concerned about Glendale showed up, right? I think they were expecting to be able to just run rampant and, like you say, threaten the city council and kind of force them to stay in with this, what I consider to be a very stupid mask mandate. And instead, you had folks from Glendale saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, we don't want the city. So why don't you explain what the city's considering doing and you know, what might happen if you know?
Well, the city tabled it, didn't keep the meeting, which means the meeting was continued. I shouldn't say tabled it. It was not adjourned, so the meeting was continued pending getting further information and taking more testimony from people regarding the convoluted nature of the mandate from Tri-County Health Services. And you'll see today when you get the hate mail from all the people, the issue at hand was a poorly written statement by Dr. Douglas from the Tri-County Health Services, in which he stated, if you are living in a household, whether that household contains one people, two people, three people, whether or not those people are related to one another, they were counting the household as the unit. Now, what that means is, if you want to go to dinner, say in Glendale or in Arapahoe County, in Tri-City, in the Tri-Counties, you have to go to dinner with someone you domicile with. In other words, you and your roommate can go, but your mom can't come in from out of town.
Or your kid.
You at your table.
Wow.
And so Denver says, well, we can, you can have a party of eight. They can congregate together. They all know they're together. You don't invite other people to your table that you don't know. This is your party. In this circumstance, you could be all alone. 58% of our people live alone, single family, single person in a dwelling, and they can't ask the person across the hall or in another condominium to join them at Jack's for lunch or dinner.
Or your kid. Maybe your kid has custody for your other spouse. You can't have your kid with you.
You can't do that.
Yeah, it's insanity.
You can't do that, Chuck. You cannot take your kids from, say, your wife. You have joint custody. They don't get to come with you either.
No.
Well, and that's a thing, and even the Tri-County Health, the board there, it wasn't a unanimous vote, right? It was 5-4. I mean, they barely won. So there are a lot, don't even go into the whole thing that the science is garbage.
Right.
Even if the science was good, what you're saying is the way they're writing it, it's so ridiculous that you as a city council, you're like, how do we deal with this? And then what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to, as the city of Glendale, send your police officers out to arrest people and what, I don't know, ask for the IDs of people sitting in a restaurant to make sure that they live together? I mean, it puts you guys in a bizarre and unreal situation.
The way, you know, I came and gave a very reasoned, short presentation. It's actually a rant, but I like those. But it was clear that all these people, including Sirota and Anderson, who mocked the citizens and laughed at them and so forth, were demanding that Glendale not do Denver's, which isn't anywhere near as bad, but they had to do Tri-Counties, which is just awful. And I think some of the, why don't we do a modified form of Denver's that makes sense for Glendale?
Because right next door to each other anyway.
Well, that's the, and I must admit, the whole reason Glendale exists, so we don't do just what Denver does.
Right.
But that seemed to probably garner maybe all the votes that were there. The one councilman wasn't there last night. I think the presentation by a lot of people, and it was about 50-50, but if you took the people who were either worked or lived in Glendale, I would say it was more 70-30 and then 37.
They didn't want you to adopt the Tri-County thing?
Well, yeah, they thought it was ridiculous. And Dave Peterson from Bull and Bush. And at the very end, strangely, this Dr. Douglas, who's kind of a Fauci-like character, he's emailing Emily Sirota, who's not a Glendale officer or anything else, telling her, oh, well, we'll change that. And I thought the city manager did a great job of going, I was just on the 2-hour Zoom call with him. You think he could have told me that?
Right. Well, so that says all you need to know right there.
Yeah, I thought she did a very good job of pointing, wait a minute, all of a sudden, in the middle of the meeting, 7 o'clock at night, he's saying, oh, I didn't really mean that. I thought the city manager did a great job.
Well, this is a perfect example of what we go through when we have law by decree,
yeah,
controlled by not elected officials. The voices are taken away and handed to the bureaucrats.
Right.
And they'll pass out an edict at 7 o'clock at night on a Friday, give you till Sunday, in many instances, to comply. In this case, it was till the 24th. And then when you call them on it, just as Linda Cassidy did, the city manager, they back up and they say, well, we didn't mean that part. Well,
yeah.
Which part did you mean?
Right.
And the $1,000 fine that is going to be imposed on citizens by the police department who are mandated as the enforcement mechanism, along with the restaurant owner who's supposed to ask you, I need proof that you live in the same place. So give me your licenses, and I want to know that you two cohabitate. And if you don't, you sit by one table, and you sit at the 6 feet away at the other table. And by the way, if you don't have a reservation, neither one of you are coming.
Yeah.
Because we can't tell who you are.
Oh, well, you know, the whole thing, you know, what surprised me, and I mentioned this to Chuck, is, again, you have a group of, like, Tay Anderson. He's a Denver Public School Board member. He has zero business, frankly, being in Denver or in Glendale at a city council meeting, telling Glendale city council members what they need to do. Emily Sirota, I guess it's in her district. I can get that. But it seems to me, Mike, that as I've said before, there's a puppet master.
It was strange. They were saying, I want you to keep Tri-County, and we're in Denver, and we don't have Tri-County.
Right.
So, but you must, because we're bullies. And I can tell you, Tay Anderson's a biggest bully I've seen.
Who's the puppet master, do you think? Because that's my read on that. And again, and you look at the media collusion with that. There's a puppet master somewhere, and this mask mandate, they're trying to ram it down our throats because I think they think it's going to give them power over the election. But I mean, what's your sense?
Julie, the puppet master is the school system. And we've spent 75 years getting here. The Frankfurt School, all of these schools of thought that have moved forward have created a society full of drones. They don't think, they have no skills, no critical thinking skills. So the puppet master has been, the Fabian socialist could be the puppet master. It's taken them this long to dig in like termites into our world, and now we're seeing what it produces. We're watching people now. Tay Anderson wants to change the name of Stapleton. He led that charge.
Yeah. Right.
Is Tay going to get to pick the name? Is it Snowflake, Colorado? What name
right.
are you going to pick?
Right.
And then these people go and eat their own. That's what's so interesting.
Right.
Watching them, they cancel each other almost as fast as they can put a gun to your head. For
right.
the BLM movement or any other movement, and say you do this or else.
Right,
Mike.
And
we've
unless
got a...
Americans actually stand up and say, "Wait a minute,
right?
We're not doing that nonsense. We're not having anything to do with it. We've got to think critically. And if you can't do that, don't vote. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Just don't vote.
That's good.
All right,
Mike. We got a crowded show, but we'd like to have you back. Next week after the council makes this decision, if that's great with you.
Well, that's fine. And I thought your rant, as you put it, was absolutely excellent.
No,
it
thank
set
you.
The tone and scared the pants off of a bunch of these people that did not want to follow you. So we'll have to have you do that more often.
All right. Mike, thank you very
Thanks so much.
Mike Dunafin, mayor of
You're
Glendale.
Welcome.
All right, sort of fighting the fight for the citizens. We want to bring on now our next guest. We've run into him all over the place. And if you listen to his show on KLZ, Mark Griffith. Mark, if you want to go ahead and I think you did unmute yourself. Hey, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
I don't think I've ever heard somebody say I should unmute myself, but.
Yeah,
and, really enjoyed listening to your show and really appreciate you having me on. You know, I'm going to be 60 this year. It took me 58 and a half years to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Right.
But actually, 25 years ago, when I would call Mike Rosen once a week, whether he needed it or not, and he usually needed it, I would call in. And he'd sometimes give me a whole segment and just let me roll. I knew that I could do talk radio, but I didn't know how to get into it. It's a very tough business to bust the door down.
Easy actually, to get out of.
yeah, true. But actually, your former boss, Kelly Michaels, I actually weaseled my way, talked my way into a 15-minute interview with him about a year and a half ago.
He's a nice man.
And he's a great guy. 15 minutes turned into an hour and 20 minutes. And he's like, man, we got to get you on the radio. But he never has. So I went on over to KLZ. And doing a show at 1 o'clock weekdays. I talk about serious issues, but we don't take ourselves seriously. No PC crap on our show.
What I love about your show, it's so common sense. So every day, it's not a lot of BS. It's a lot of here's straight out what the
right. Just like
are.
Today, I had Dr. Douglas on the show for the first 35 minutes. And I was civil and cordial, and I think he's come on before, so he came on again today. And there was one time where I had to stop him and say, look, because I said basically, look at the seven states in the U.S. that didn't lock down and didn't do any of this crap. Their mortality rates are actually lower than the 43 states that did lock down.
Right.
There's two or three countries in the world that did not lock down, Sweden being the most notable example.
Right.
And their mortality rates are less than half of the countries in Europe. And he says, well, I got to stop you right there. They do not have the lowest mortality rates in Europe. And I said, oh, I didn't say that. I said, they have a lower mortality rate than half the countries. And I rattled off, you know, the UK, Belgium, Spain, Italy, there's a whole bunch of countries that have much higher mortality rates than Sweden.
Right.
And they just told their citizens, here's what we think you need to do, because they still don't know how this thing is transmitted. It's been spitballing from day one.
It has been. And they don't care. They don't even care. No. Hey, why don't I switch gears a little bit? Because I found this and this, thank you to the folks who pointed this out to me on Facebook. We're going to try. They haven't done this before, Mark. We're going to roll some video. This is taken at the state capitol on Monday. This is some of the graffiti and stuff that's been going up there. I was under the impression that they were cleaning it up because that's what they always do. But this has been up there for weeks now that they haven't cleaned. And so guys at BBS, could you go ahead and roll the video? Because I want people to see what we're talking about. And if you're listening, this is graffiti boarded up buildings at the Colorado State Capitol. So can you go ahead and roll that? And I'm going to apologize ahead of time for the F word. So close your eyes. But what you're...
Well, we're on cable.
Hold on. I didn't know this was going to... I thought this was a family show.
Yeah. What you're looking at, for the folks who can't see it, go to YouTube and watch it. You can see, because you will be shocked. This is taken Monday.
This is State Capitol, the main building.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's like spray painted stuff. The windows for the first two stories are boarded up because they're broken.
That's our capital, folks.
Yeah.
This is the state capital. This is, if you were walking by this, if I just showed this and you didn't know where it was, you might think it was in some
Sarajevo during the war.
Exactly.
You know
what
I mean?
I mean,
they used to call these places the people's house, right?
Right.
And I talked to a guy who actually went down there about a week after this happened. Because most of it happened during those 2 weeks of, you know, intense riots. And he just pulled a cop aside. He says, what gives? You know, how did this happen? He said, the mayor told us to stand down and let him have at it.
Right. And this is what's happening. And as I understand, there's more graffiti every night is put up. There's like kill the pigs, all kinds. Again, the F word all over the place. And it's clearly different paint, different styles. This is not one person just doing that.
Many artists.
Not even artists. Yeah. But I saw that.
I know they're not artists.
And Chuck made the good point, Mark. He said, this is, you know, and Barney, our caller, said, hey, this is a campaign ad, right? It's like, this is what you get when you have a Democrat governor, a Democrat-controlled legislature, a Democrat mayor, a Democrat district attorney.
Yep.
Polis is clearly allowing this to happen. I mean, to me, it is outrageous that, number one, they have surveillance cameras all over the place, so it's not even going to be... Wouldn't be hard to get them in the act and arrest them. Wouldn't be hard to go after them. It wouldn't be hard to do something to prevent it. What's your take on why do you think they're letting it happen?
Well, I want to say that your regular caller, Barney, he needs to take some assertiveness training. I will be happy to work with him so that he can learn to express himself more forcefully. Because he's so, you know, but seriously, I love Barney. I loved it when I would call and then Father Hugh would call.
Right.
Does Father Hugh still call?
Yes, huh?
Mm-hmm. I will count it the highest honor if I can get Father Hugh to call my show. and Barney. And let me plug my show real quick.
Oh, absolutely. That's why we want you on. It's such a great show.
I'm on 560 KLZ weekdays at 1. You can listen online at klzradio.com. But the easiest way and the way that will help me with my advertisers is download the KLZ app, because they don't track listeners on the radio, but I can track listeners. How many, not track you personally, by using the KLZ app. It's a real easy app to use, you know, three.
It's on KLZ. You can just go to KLZ.
Yeah, it was like CNUS had one. Everybody, yeah.
Exactly.
And do you have your podcast on that?
Well, my podcast is at my website, markgriffithshow.com.
Okay.
Markgriffithshow.com. But I'm bad about, I'm good at research. I know a lot of stuff, and I'm really good at talking about it, and I'm good at selling advertising. But getting on the computer in the evening and doing all the I wish I was radio superstars like you. I could pay my minions to do it.
The big staff.
You're looking at the minion.
I'll tell you a funny anecdote, and then I'll tell you what I think's going on with the Capitol.
Okay.
I have this uncle and aunt that live in Alabama. I love the dealer. My mom's sister and her husband, my favorite aunt, uncle. And I finally got them to listen on the line one time, and they started listening. And one time I called them. I called them about once a week to check on them. They're old. I said, so what do you think? And he's like, well, let me ask you something, Mark. He goes, how many resource assistants does that station give you? And I said, what? He goes, yeah, how many research assistants? There's no way you could know all this stuff. People have to be feeding you this information. I'm like, well, I appreciate the compliment, but no, they're not giving me research assistants.
You're looking at the minion and research assistant.
Exactly. So here's what's happening, I think, with the monuments and kind of the erasure of history. You know, let me remind folks, 1984, written by George Orwell, was not written as a how-to manual, right?
Right,
it was
a
warning. And what we're seeing is that we've always been at war with Oceania, and now we're not at war with Oceania. What they're trying to do is erase our cultural memory and our historical memory. Because if you can, if for instance, Julie, if God forbid something happened and you lost your memory completely and you didn't know this kind, loving man next to you, you didn't know anything, your relationship with Chuck would be over. It would have to start over. And so if Chuck had nefarious means or desires, he could shape your new memory, right? Well, right. I think that's what they're doing with our history, is they're trying to eliminate our history, not just the slavery, but George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, so that they can bring us kind of a blank slate and convince these people that don't know anything about history, well, this is what America really is. We're a socialist
country.
Well,
they want people to hate America, right?
Yes, yes.
Not at the state capitol. They want people to have no respect for the state capitol, right? They want you, if you're horrified by that, well, then you're a racist, clearly, right?
Right. And let me make a prediction. I've said this on a show. I believe that all these blue enclaves where all this nonsense is happening, they're going to become emboldened. Now, are they going to come out to Parker where me and every one of my neighbors has got a whole buttload of guns? Probably not. Because they know if they come to a red place, they know that not only would the sheriff put this kind of thing down, but we'd be right there helping them. And the sheriff and our DA, George Brockler, wouldn't indict me for keeping people off my property.
Right.
But in a blue enclave, you know, citizens can't defend themselves, their property, or they'll get prosecuted for some stupid thing like the couple in St. Louis,
right.
So I think what's going to happen is they're going to get emboldened and they're going to start moving out from our urban, the center of the city, the downtown areas.
Right.
And I think they're going to go start trying to pull this nonsense in neighborhoods.
Well, look what's going to get bad. Well, I think it's going to get bad too, Mark, and that's a really good point. Because you look at that, what this says, it sends a message, number one, to the criminals, right? That, hey, you can do this and no one is going to stop you.
Right.
They're going to try to make it hard for you, right? They'll just stand there and watch. And so then if you're a criminal, what do you do then if you want to say spray, you know, F the cops and, you know, F the pigs and Black Lives Matter on somebody's fence? Let's say in the DU Observatory Park area, right? And so they come out and they call the cops, and the cops, like, we've been told to stand down. I mean, and you're right. And we saw in St. Louis, if you come out and you defend yourself, which theoretically is something we're supposed to be able to do in this country, and you get indicted, you know, I mean, it's just an upside down world right now.
I will say about the couple with the two attorneys in St. Louis, he does need to learn muzzle discipline.
So does a woman.
You like this, yeah. But anyway, what was I going to say?
Well, I just think you're right. It's going to go further out, and it's going to get ugly because so if people go past, say, Logan Street and 12th, now do they stop the graffiti, or can they go? No. You know, can they go to Spear and Six and spray paint stuff? I mean,
won't stop until there's political pain. Right. And so right now there's no political pain because there's no constituency in downtown Denver. You know, those people aren't necessarily even residents of Denver. So Mayor Hancock, he don't care. But no. I will tell you this. You see this on Facebook and on Twitter, and I hear it at church, and they say, oh, no, personal property is not worth the loss of a single human life. Well, here, let me share something with you about the 20th century. In every case in the 20th century where a government stopped protecting property rights, mass murder follows.
Well, we're seeing it. We're seeing it in Denver. They're on track to have one of the highest murder rates. Assaults are up. Crime is up all over the country.
And there's a multiplying effect. Because how easy will it be for you to go out and get competent cops now after what they're doing in Atlanta? They charged that Atlanta cop who was just basically trying to keep from getting killed. They charged him with capital murder. Now, do you think... And I think you're going to see retirements all over the place.
Yeah.
And if you're in a blue enclave in a blue city, now you may be able to get recruits, but are they good? Are they competent?
Oh, no, they're going to be.
Are they the ones you want wearing a badge and carrying a firearm?
Right. No. Yeah. No.
Let me ask you on a different side. When we talked to Mark Griffith, got a great show on KLZ. If you're a conservative, you're a grassroots person, you got to listen 1 to 2, 5 days a week, and it's also plays during the weekend.
They replay my show at 11 o'clock at night. Okay. And then they play it on 9 o'clock Sunday morning. I pick out one show and they play it.
Yeah.
But let me add one other thing.
Sure.
I do try to bring everything back to God, to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I believe that whether you're a secular conservative or religious or evangelical like myself, I think there has to be an appreciation for Judeo-Christian principles and our foundational roots. You know, that it was basically the marrying, like Ben Shapiro's book, The Right Side of History, he talks about the marrying of Jerusalem and the Revelation and with Athens, the Demos, and those kind of came together. And then, you know, 1,500 years later, the Scottish Enlightenment. But I do try to, I don't give a Bible study every day. I did preach a sermon about 3 weeks ago because God laid it on my heart. There was too much fear in the world. And so I just did a whole thing on
good for you.
You fear God first and you don't have to fear anything else. And I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chuck.
No, that's great. That's very important. And I think that's a key part of your show. Let me ask you about something to fear, which is the Colorado Republican Party. I mean, we've had the example of Wayne Williams, Eli Bremer, and all these other ones, the Monument Mafia, the Denver ones going after Ken Buck in the Denver Post and in left-wing ones. I just saw one today where
Gary Kirkland is continuing to attack Casper Stockham, an establishment Republican. It was a thing he brought up in January, and then
he doesn't like his expenditures. He doesn't have any because he doesn't have any money, but he spends all his time. Now, Casper has zero chance of winning, but he's run the best race he can. Jason Crowe.
I've had Casper on my show three or four times.
So Gary Kirkland, who's a close confidant of House, spends all his time coming to meetings, trashing Casper. I mean,
it's trash promo, you know.
Yeah, no, Republicans are just...
They have an incredible ability to just commit suicide. And it's because they don't believe in anything. These people they're just Democrats in Republican clothing. They just want to be in power. And if power means that they're in the minority status, as long as they're in office, they don't care. They don't have an ideology. Let me give you an example. Lauren Boebert in the 3rd Congressional District, she took Scott Tipton to the woodshed. Now people say, oh, he didn't take her seriously. Well, that's on him. Right. She ran a great campaign. She ballot harvested.
Yes.
I think the key to her victory is clearly her appearance on my show.
But yeah, that probably did it.
Because there's a lot of third district voters here on the front range. But there ought to be. We should figure out how the Democrats do that. But but the point is that right after she won that election, you know, whenever an upstart Republican like Lauren comes on the scene, the other side is very haughty and they're cocky. They say, well, look, You run your little campaign, but when this is over, we got to unify, right? We got to
right.
What do we say? We always say, well, sure, we're going to vote R because that's better than voting D. And then when she won, all of her his supporters are just trashing Lauren Boebert. She doesn't have a high school education. She doesn't have this. Well, you know what she does have? She's got a business that she's run successfully for several years, and she's got. And she's really good looking too. And you guys should have her on your show.
Principles. I mean, with Lauren, but we've interviewed her too. She just lays it out, right? She what you see is what you get. She tells you what she believes in. Yep. She tells you what she's going to fight for. Oh, and guess what? More than, I mean, if you would ask people in Colorado, I think by now more people are familiar with Lauren Boebert than were ever familiar with Scott Tipton.
Absolutely.
Right?
He's like Doug Lamborn.
Yes.
And frankly, I don't go into Ken Buck, but, The Republican establishment, unfortunately, the people with the money are disconnected from the people with ideas, like the Tom Pancratos of the world.
Right.
And it's kind of a parallel to the old 80s thing when Reagan came along, and the old Rockefeller Republicans were like, hey, can you just keep it down about abortion? Because my wife is pro-choice, and I don't have to put up with that crap. And so now it's the same way. In a sense, you know, the Bob Bro Praise, good Lord, what a bad candidate. And knowing what he's doing now behind the scenes actively work against Republicans, it's sickening.
And what they did up in Weld County and in South Jeffco, taking millions of dollars
from Democrats
and Clinton supporters. I mean,
to
just
push my nose. Hey, Mark, listen, we have to let you go. Our show, the show's only, we used to have 3 hours. Now we only have an hour.
I know.
One more time, the Mark Griffith Show at KLZ.
560
KLZ, 1 o'clock weekdays. The email Mark at markgriffithshow.com. You can catch it online at klzradio.com. But the easiest way is to download the KLZ app on your phone. Go to the Play Store, Apple Store.
I suggest people KLZ. Do it because you got a great show.
Thank you. And we're going to be on your show here in a couple weeks.
The 28th, July 28th, put it on your calendar. Chuck and Julie in the studio with Mark Griffith.
Thank you for your time. We want to thank Lindsay Singer. We want to thank Mike Dunafin, Mark Griffith here. If you miss a podcast or if you miss some of the show, came in late, two things, go to chuckandjulie.com. You can go, that'll link you to all of our archives. I link you to all of our podcasts. I'm good. I'm the minion. I put it up there.
She's a good minion.
It'll take you to our YouTube channel, and really would appreciate it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And I want to emphasize Synergenics. We don't have a lot of time here, but if you want to get your health back, if you want to feel the best you can, you want to get everything working the way you can, you want to get a free consultation from Julie McCallum, that's worth a small fortune, I can tell you, by itself. 720-387-3681, the best move you ever made. You also see their website at Synergenics, CENEGENICS.com. It'll be a very happy day. They have programs for men, they have programs for women. It's an extraordinary medical advancement for anybody.
All right. That'll do it for us, everybody. Thank you to all of our guys listening on Zoom, everybody listening at home or wherever you are. And we'll see you on Party Friday.
Party Friday.
Yeah.